Let's pray. Lord, we thank you once again for sending your Spirit to your church. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would enlighten our ears to hear your word, that you would soften our hearts to receive it and to live by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is traditionally a day when Christians read and celebrate this brief story from the book of Acts about what happened when God poured out his Spirit upon the church. And to put it in modern day language, you might say that it's a story about people becoming spiritual. But this day also holds, on a personal level, some special significance for me, because it was 16 years ago today that I was ordained to the ministry on Pentecost Sunday of 1999. And I recently mentioned this to a pastor friend of mine, and he replied with a grimace, "Oh, well, that explains why you're so spiritual." And laughing, just as you were laughing, I responded, "Well, I'm glad it's obvious, right?" Now, obviously, our comments were in jest and joking, but the exchange led me to ask myself, how can you tell if a person is spiritual? And I think it's a valid question, because various studies in recent days have revealed that in the United States, not only is spirituality quite popular, but there are also a couple of different views of what it means to be spiritual. You know, we often hear people say, "Well, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious," or "You know, I don't go to church, but I'm into spiritual things." And all you have to do is go over to the self-help section or the spirituality section at Barnes & Noble bookstore over at Riverside and see that lots and lots of recent books are being written on this subject, and they're selling rapidly. And so on the one hand, there are those who in these books seem to think that being spiritual has to do simply with getting in touch with your inner self and becoming one with nature and finding a path that fulfills you and gives you peace. On the other hand, there are those who seem to think that being spiritual has to do more with miraculous experiences and emotional experiences and the exaltation and imposition of certain values upon other people. And here's what's interesting. As popular as these views of spirituality are, the world's most popular book on the subject, meaning the Bible, actually presents quite a different view. And so regardless of where you are on the issue of spirituality in Christian faith, I want to simply look at this text and suggest that we come to it with an open mind and ask ourselves, what are the characteristics of spiritual people? And there obviously are lots of characteristics, and we could go on and on in many ways, but I want to just limit it to a few that we see here in this passage. So, number one, the first characteristic is that spiritual people are individuals without being individualistic. Spiritual people are individuals without being individualistic. Now, here's what I mean. If you look at verses 1 through 3, it begins by saying, "When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them." Now, it's interesting that even though this was a large group of people, the flame of the Holy Spirit divided and rested on each of them individually. So in other words, there really is a sense in which each person individually was having some type of inner experience of the presence of God. But on the other hand, their individual experience was inseparable from the broader community of the church, In other words, Paul went on to teach, for example, in 1 Corinthians, that to each person the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. If any member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. And so, though we are each individuals and we each bring our own set of characteristics and gifts to the spiritual life, we're really inseparable from each other, and we're all part of one body. That's why it just doesn't add up when we hear someone say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not into church. I'm sympathetic to that. I understand that view. I get it. But what the story is telling us here is that being spiritual means being part of the church, that we may share in one another's spiritual gifts. So that's the first characteristic. Spiritual people are individuals without being individualistic. And now there's a second characteristic here today, and that's this. Spiritual people are saved without being superior. Now, a lot of people were confused about what was happening on this day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out and they heard each other in their own languages, and some of the people balked at them and said, oh, they've had too much wine, they're drunk. And Peter responded, no, they're not drunk, it's only 9 a.m, which seems like a weird thing to say. You know, I mean, what is he saying by that? It's like he's saying, well, no, they're going to do that later on or something. I don't know. But the point is that he's saying that, look, this isn't just from alcohol. This is a genuine act of the Spirit. And he says this to explain what happened in verse 21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is where a lot of people have a hard time with the Christian faith. Because that word, saved, depending on your background, may work up all kinds of different connotations in your mind of you know, hellfire and brimstone and those kinds of things. But it's a real word that the Scriptures use quite a bit. But the emphasis here, notice, is where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just all religious people. He gets specific. He says, sons and daughters, young men, old men, slaves, men, women. And it's an interesting thing, because in that day, sons were superior to daughters because they worked and were entitled to the family inheritance. Young men were considered strong, while old men were considered weak. Slaves were at the bottom of the social ladder, and women slaves were treated even on a lower scale. But Peter is saying that when the Spirit came, that people from all of those different groups would be rescued and forgiven and included in God's family. Do you see what he's doing? He's saying that because of the Holy Spirit, barriers have been broken down. There is no hierarchy of this person is more spiritual than this person, or this person is more loved by God than this other person. And so what he's saying is that when the Spirit comes upon us, it's humbling. My dad sent me an article recently which caught my attention because he knows that I enjoy trying to shop locally for produce and food, and I prefer organic produce and those kinds of things. And I thought this was interesting because the title of this article was entitled, Organic Foods Can Turn You Into a Jerk. So, without any explanation, I decided to open the article, and it had to do with a woman in Louisiana who commented to a local reporter these words. She said, at my local grocery store, I sometimes catch organic eyes gazing into my grocery cart and scowling. And she went on to say, if she would sometimes buy potato chips or something like that, then the other people who were into health food would sort of look at her as, you know, one of those people who just doesn't understand. And intrigued by this, a psychology professor at a local university named Keith Eskine embarked on an experiment observing the attitudes of organic food eaters compared to comfort food eaters. You can't make this stuff up. And he says that the results show that the organic people tended to be much more harsh and judgmental than the comfort food people. And when they asked why eating healthy food led some people to have an unhealthy attitude, the psychology professor answered with these words: because people may feel like they've done their good deed. There's a line of research showing that when people can pat themselves on the back for their moral behavior, they can become self-righteous. Well, the article got my attention because I realized that I'm one of those people who scowls and looks at the other junk food in people's shopping carts. And that was convicting enough in and of itself. But furthermore, I realized, you know, the same thing can be said of those of us who believe in Christ. See, there's a tendency for us sometimes to think that because our salvation is in Christ and because we believe in Him, that it somehow makes us of a better status than other people, that maybe God saw something in us that He liked that He didn't like in someone else. And this story seems to teach that it's just the opposite, that it's by sheer grace that God would save any of us and include us in His family. Tim Keller says it this way. He says, the message of the Christian faith is not the good are in and the bad are out. Rather, it's the humble are in and the proud are out. I mean, think about it. It takes a great deal of humility to, quote, call upon the name of the Lord, as Peter says. But it takes a great deal of pride to believe that God will bless us because we're so good. Salvation is either totally by grace or nothing at all. And so there we see briefly some of the characteristics of what it means to be spiritual. When God pours out His Spirit upon us as we believe in Christ, it makes us individuals, yet without being individualistic, and it makes us saved, yet without being superior. What a wonderful gift God has given in sending His Spirit, which is the way that He chooses to be among us. How humbling it is also as we take this day to remember all of the brave servicemen and women who sacrificed their own lives that we might have freedom in our lives. When we really grasp something like that, it doesn't make us arrogant. It doesn't make us harsh. It softens our hearts. It makes us more loving. It makes us more honest about our own shortcomings and flaws. And it makes us more grateful for the freedom we have. And so how much more then, on an even greater scale, does God's Spirit being given to us make us giving rather than individualistic? And it makes us loving rather than superior. Thanks be to God for this great gift of His Holy Spirit. Amen.